Listen well. And as the speaker today, that's my prayer, is that you would listen well, that you would hear what I have to say today, and we'd have a good time. In fact, turn to the person next to you and say, listen well. Good. Or else. No, don't say that. Now, back in the olden times, for some of you kids, this is going to be a relic from the past that you've never heard of. And for many of us, we've never grown up with this. But back when the telegraph was the fastest means of communications. Now, for those of you who aren't familiar, the telegraph is like the telephone's great-grandfather. It's like the internet's great-great-grandfather, okay? And this is the way that, as humans, when we didn't want to carry a letter across the state or across the oceans or across the places, we would telegraph. Now, a young man one day applied for a job as a Morse code operator in a telegraph station. And answering an ad in a newspaper, there's another relic from history, right? He looked at a newspaper. He went to the office, and he went and talked to the receptionist and said, I'm here for the job. I'm here to interview for the Morse code operator at the telegraph station. And she said, okay, I'm going to have you fill out some paperwork and go have a seat in the lobby. There's several other people out there waiting. Just wait, and we'll call you when we're ready for you. So he sat down, and he filled out his paperwork. A few minutes went by, and all these other men are just sitting there waiting for the job application as well. A few minutes go by, and this man stands up, and he's got a huge smile on his face. And he just walks right into the office. He walks right past the receptionist, and all the other people are looking at him like, what is wrong with this guy? Like, did we miss it? Did we miss the invitation? They're thinking, man, he's going to exclude himself. He's getting too ahead of himself, and they didn't understand what happened. Well, a few minutes later, the employer, the manager, comes out and says, gentlemen, I want to thank you for coming in today, but our job has been filled. And they're like, what? He showed up way after we did. He just walked right in there. What's going on? And the employer said, I'm sorry, but the last several minutes, as you've been sitting here in this busy and noisy office, the telegraph machine has been ticking out the following message in Morse code. If you understand this message, come right in. The job is yours. None of you heard it or understood it, but he did, so the job is his. Now, it pays to listen well, doesn't it? Sometimes it pays to listen well. And this morning, I want to talk about listening well because Jesus spoke about listening well. And this idea plays its way out in our spiritual walk. And you and I, like the young man in this story, are sitting in the same room as other people all around us. Is that Jesus? I'll take it if it is. I'm listening for him. But we're sitting in the same room as other people, and there's noise, and there's chaos, and there's murmuring, and there's things happening around us, but there's a God who wants to speak to us. And if we will tune our ears to hearing from this God, he wants to speak to us and change our lives forever. See, we go to work, we eat at restaurants, we live in this world and we live our lives, and while we're there, God is speaking to us. He's whispering to us, and if we will learn to tune our ears to hear what God has to say, it will unlock our purpose. It will unlock what God wants to do in our lives, but we need to be men and women who listen well. Let's turn to the scripture, Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 16, if you have your Bibles. It says this. Jesus speaking says, no one after lighting a lamp covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. Say, see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care then how you hear. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. Now, we're going to unpack this scripture and talk in more detail about what Jesus is getting at, what he's talking about here in the next few minutes. But the big idea is this. If you're taking notes, the first blank is this. Jesus is calling you. And he is calling you, but how you respond to his voice is eternally significant. Not only to his initial call, but how we respond to his voice as he speaks to us. It makes eternal significance. And Jesus is calling. I believe Jesus is speaking to you. Even this morning, as we read his words, as we open up the Bible, as we hear from God, I believe that the Lord wants to speak to some of us today. He wants to reveal something about himself to you today. But the question is simple. Are you listening? Not just to me, not just to my voice, but are you listening? Have you said, God, I want to hear from you today? In fact, I want to pray before we go any further that God would open our ears to hear what he wants to speak. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, which is living, it's alive. And today, as we open your word, as we continue talking about your word, Lord, I pray that you'd give us ears to hear what you want to speak to us, that you'd help us to hear and understand what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. See, Jesus has a higher calling for your life, something beyond your default, but beyond what you might call your modus operandi or your default settings or your what you would normally do. Your default tendencies. And we can't fake it with Jesus. One of the things that we see in this scripture is that there's nothing that we can hide from God. Sometimes we think that, man, we're struggling with things and I'm just not going to talk with God about it because I don't want to bring it up because I don't want him to know about it, right? Like he's already not informed about what we're going through. But Jesus knows everything about us. That's the scandalous, beautiful nature of the gospel. The good news of Jesus is that he knows all your stuff and he still likes you. He loves you. That even though he knows all of the screwed up things that you've been through and where you've been and even the thoughts that you're thinking, man, in your worst of worst moments, he still loves you. We can't hide it from him. But the truth of that is that each one of us will stand before our Maker. Every single one of us, and give an account for the way we've lived our lives. And this morning, if you put your trust in Jesus, that's not a scary thought at all. It's not a scary thought because Jesus has paid the price for you. He's paid the price for every mistake and every sin you've made. So to have that understanding that we'll stand before Jesus is not a terrifying thing. If you're following along in our Bible reading plan, this Friday we read a verse. The last words of Jesus Christ as he was hanging on the cross before he died and was to be resurrected, he said these words. He said, "It is finished." So for those of you who put your trust in Jesus, those sins, those things that maybe some people would be anxious or worried about, we can know that Jesus said, "It's finished. It's done. He's paid the price. He's finished it." That's good news. Amen? But the terrifying news, if you haven't put your trust in Jesus. But here's the deal. There's no secret that you have that will not be found out. Now, again, when we talk about things like this, for some it can bring great terror in our lives, as I say those words, that every secret will make the light of day, either in this life or in the life to come, either as we stand before man or certainly as we stand before Almighty God. He knows already. And one of the things I think we start to see in our culture, and we've seen it in the last year or two, even more so, is that those secret things have a way of coming out eventually. Those things that we think no one else has saw, I got away with it scot-free, they have a way of coming out. And there's a silent cost to living in secrets and living in the shadows and living in the darkness. And the secret cost is this: it causes turmoil within our souls. Because we know the secret, even if no one else does. And so there's something powerful that happens when we will bring those things to God and seek for his restoration. But there's a silent cost. And Jesus says something important. He says, we need to take care how we hear. He says this, take care then how you hear. For the one who has, more will be given. And for one who has not, even what he thinks he has, will be taken away from him. How well do you listen? For some of you, that's an easy answer. How well do you listen? More to the point, how well do you listen and obey God? Because there's a difference between hearing the words go in one ear and out the other, and allowing God's word to go in one ear and sink down into our heart and change us. How well do you listen? Jesus says, you and I, we will be known by the way we live our lives. Our values, our beliefs, all that we hold dear. Those things are not just internal beliefs, as sometimes we like to think. That belief shapes our actions. that what I truly believe about God shapes all of my actions. It affects the things I spend my money on. It affects the way I spend my time. It affects everything that I do, those beliefs that I have. And Jesus uses this metaphor of light. He says, no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. See, Jesus here uses a metaphor of light, and he says this. He says, in a dark room when it's pitch dark, when it's absolutely darkness, there's just a little bit of light. It can change everything. And when someone lights a candle in a dark room, hey, there's darkness. Our eyes are drawn to the light. Our eyes are attracted to the source of light. And what Jesus is saying, that if we're in a dark room and someone lights a candle or someone turns on a small lantern or light, your eyes are attracted to it. Now, we've got tons of light coming in from the back. But Jesus says you can't hide it. You can't hide the light. Some people might try and do that. But your life and mine is like this candle. It's either lighting up the world for God, else it's lighting up the world for something else. You can turn the house lights back on. I've shared with you some of my story before, but this passage from Luke's gospel brings back into my mind a scripture that I read one of my first weeks of following Jesus. I haven't shared my story with y'all to give you a little snippet. I grew up in a household, and we would pray for our meals, but I didn't really know God, and I certainly didn't have an eternity-shaping, changing relationship with Jesus. I didn't know about Jesus. And so when I finally went to church, I was invited by a friend. There's something powerful about an invitation to come to church. When I was invited by a friend to come to church, man, I met Jesus in a powerful way, and it wrecked me. It wrecked me in a good way. God just got a hold of my heart when I understood that all the mistakes I had made, all the stuff I had done, God still liked me. He still loved me no matter what. And it was revolutionary. It changed me. And so the very first week I got saved, the next day, I decided I was going to go to a bookstore. This is, again, another relic from history. These are these places that sold these little paper things that had words on them. It was really cool. It was like the internet on paper. It was cool. So I went to a bookstore, and even more rare, it was a Christian bookstore. And I went to this Christian bookstore in my town. I never even knew it existed, but someone told me about it. And I walked in, and I went to the Bible section. And I thought, man, if I'm going to be a Christian, I need a good Bible. And so I went and I tried to find the biggest Bible I could find, right? And I bought the biggest Bible I could afford, and I carried it out. And I thought, man, if this is a book, it needs to be a holy Bible. It needs to be big so I can, you know, drop it on myself. So I bring this thing home. And as my pastor told me, he said, start with the New Testament and just start reading through the New Testament. So I did. So I started with the book of Matthew, the very first book of the New Testament. And I started reading through the scriptures. And I got to this verse. And man, something happened in my soul. God spoke to me. This became the first scripture I ever committed to memory. And let me just say, there's something powerful about committing God's word to memory, about saying, God, I want to internalize, I want to have it. Because here's what happens is, over the years, as I go through struggles, as I go through things, God will just remind me of a scripture that I put inside, and he'll pull it back up to my memory banks and remind me of it. But this was the scripture in my very first week, and it's from Matthew 5:14. And Jesus says this. He says, you are the light of the world. He says, a city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. And this is where it gets real. He says, in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who's in heaven. Let your light shine. And when I read that, it changed me. See, here's what he's saying. There's no keeping Jesus a secret. When God does a work in your life, your job is not to hide it away. It's not to pretend like it was a cool spiritual experience that happened and it's just for you. That our job is to let our light shine, to allow others to see God's work in our lives. We can't keep Jesus a secret. He's never meant to be that way. Now, let me just say, we have brothers and sisters that live all around our globe today that live in a very different nation than the one that we're blessed to be part of. They live in lands where to be a Christian is to be met with certain death or physical persecution. And sometimes we feel like, man, we're being persecuted. We don't have, haven't seen anything yet like some of our brothers and sisters are. And I'm not talking about underground churches in other places, but for you and for me, living in the relative peace and tranquility of the United States, we have no such threat against our lives. And Jesus is saying this, that our faith is meant to be seen. That our faith will necessarily change everything about us. He changes everything about us. Oh, our jobs might stay the same, right? We might stay in the same career if we're doing what God has called us and created us to do. Don't you know that God has created many of us to do jobs in the marketplace, out in the world? Not everyone that's called to ministry is called to ministry in a church, but you're called to ministry sometimes in the school or sometimes in the CPA firm or sometimes in the hospital or wherever God has called you to. Although you might not change your career, you will find a deeper purpose in the doing of it. Oh, our families will stay the same. We won't change our birth parents or some of the other relationships, but we will be adopted into the spiritual family of God. We will be called into God's family. See, although our circumstances might not change, everything will change about our circumstances. Everything will change. And Jesus says that our light, it's going to come out. It's going to be seen either for good or for evil, right? And Jesus uses the metaphor both ways. He says, man, what's on the inside, the light's going to come out. People will see it. In fact, the book of Ecclesiastes 12:14, the Lord reminded me of this verse yesterday. It says this, for God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. And there's something that's sobering about that scripture as we remember and realize that, man, there's nothing that's secret that God doesn't know about. And Jesus tells us that our hearing shapes not only our obedience, but it also gives us an identity. Yeah, the way we hear shapes our identity. What do you mean, Pastor? You heard me right. This is what he says. Just a verse later, Luke 18:19, continues this dialogue. And when Jesus' mother and brothers came to him, his half-brothers, they couldn't reach him because of the crowd was so large around Jesus. And he was told, hey, your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you. But he answered them. And he said, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. Now, let me just say something here. Jesus isn't disrespecting his mother or his brothers. He's not disrespecting them, but he's making a point. And what is he saying? He's asking this question, who are the brothers? Who are the mother? Who is the family of Jesus? Jesus says, who is my family? How can we tell who are with Jesus and who are not with Jesus? Jesus says this. There is a way to tell who is with Jesus and who's not. How can you tell a true Christian from one who's not? Some would say it's through their Christian subculture. Do they listen to the right music? Right? Do they wear the right clothes? Do they have the cross t-shirt, right? They wear the cross t-shirt and they you get in their car. And what channel are they tuned into? They got The Message, or they got Air One, or they got some Christian station. That's how you can tell who a Christian is, right? They got the happy, positive music jamming on their iPhone, right? Some would say, man, you can tell a Christian by their religious activity. Like, where are they hanging out? Don't matter where they're on Saturday night or Friday night, but where are they at on Sunday morning, right? Because if they punch that time card and they go to church, then you know they're a Christian, right? Now, it don't matter if they're living for hell the rest of the year, but Sunday morning they're living for Jesus, so you know that they're a Christian. Some people might say that. Some people might say you can tell because their behaviors become modified, right? They used to slip out all them nasty words, and now they're just speaking blessed and other nice words, right? You can tell by what they do on the outside. And let me just say something. There's nothing wrong with listening to Air One. I think we should listen to good, positive music. It's good to be encouraged and have our soul filled. There's nothing wrong with wearing a Christian t-shirt or having a bumper sticker unless you drive like hell. Then don't put one of them stickers on your car. Let me just say that. If you got a Jesus sticker, drive like Jesus, okay? Don't drive like a bat out of hell, okay? That's not how we drive with a Jesus sticker. But there's nothing wrong with those things, and surely following Jesus will change us from the inside out. Our behavior's going to change. But what Jesus says is this. He wants to transform us from the inside out. In fact, 1 John 2 gives us this indicator. It says, whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way he walked. See, friends, you and I will be known as Jesus' people if we walk like Jesus walked. See, it's not just about talking the talk. It's not just about putting the right shirt on or attending the right service or doing the right number of things. We should go to church. We should listen to worship music. We should be changed. But those things are just indicators of something deeper. It happens when we will follow Jesus, when we'll really actively follow Jesus. See, Jesus' invitation to you and to me is simple. Follow me. Follow me. And that's, by the way, 1/4 of our mission around here as a church. We want you to follow Jesus, because it's only when you follow Jesus that God can transform your life. When you'll say, Jesus, I'm going to walk with you. And when we walk with Jesus and we start walking with others, then we grow in freedom. We allow God to change us from the inside out. That's where that behavior stuff starts to find its work in us. And we do that through community groups around here. And then once we start doing that, then man, we want you to discover your purpose. God, I'm following you. Help me to know how to live my life the best way possible to make a difference with my life. See, if we are Christians, we should be walking in the footsteps of Jesus. Who are you following? We got a lot of people we follow, right? In our culture, we got Facebook people we follow. We got Twitter people we follow. We're following people on Instagram. But are you following in the footsteps of Jesus? Jesus says, take care how you hear what I have to say to you. See, the whole preceding section of Scripture, if you'll just scroll up in your iPhone or you'll flip the page if you got an old school Bible like me, back to the last section of Scripture, Jesus just got through talking about the parable of the soil. Pastor Anna shared this word last week. And Jesus just got done talking about this idea that there's some people that when they come to hear from God, they just don't hear it at all. They're too busy. They got their fingers in their ears. They're not listening. And the word of God just falls along the path and gets trampled and swept away. There's some people that come to God to hear, and they might do well for a little while. They do something with it, but then a bump comes in the road. Something happens in their life. Something goes sideways at work. And their faith, it withers and it dies because they haven't gone deep. Jesus gives a metaphor. He says, there's some that hear what God has to say. And they get super excited about it. They're like, "Woo, Jesus!" They get the t-shirts, right? They put the bumper sticker on the back of their car. But they get so, they don't follow Jesus. They just add Jesus to what they're already doing. They just put the Christian bumper sticker on their life without following Jesus. And so they get choked out by all their cares of the world and the other obligations they got. And soccer season started, so I can't follow Jesus anymore. And man, I got to watch baseball on TV, so I can't follow Jesus anymore. But then Jesus talks about another sort of person, a person who instead of those other ways has cleared out his life to receive what God wants to do. And he's just sitting there waiting for God to speak. They're like that telegram interview guy from earlier. They're sitting in the same room with everybody else, but their ears are tuned in to hear what God is whispering and tapping them about, because they prioritize the hearing of God. Now, let me just say something. God's love is great for all of those people. He has the same purpose. He has the same desires for the lives of those that don't hear, or those who get too busy, or those who are preoccupied with other stuff. But Jesus gives us this picture, and God gives us this metaphor to say this. Look, Though God's love is true for all of them, there's only one that's going to experience the transforming power of God, and it's those who can hear. It's those who are receptive, those who want to hear. So how do we hear from God? Real briefly, and we'll wrap this up. How do we learn to take care how we hear? The first way we've got to do is we've got to come to God honestly. Say honestly. We got to get real. We can't fake it till we make it. That doesn't work in the kingdom of God. We got to be honest and open with God. We got to ask God to speak to us. And to do that, we've got to stop pretending that we're okay. When we're hurting, we got to say, God, I'm hurting. I need your help. I need your comfort. That when we see the brokenness of sin in our hearts, we got to say, God, I'm broken. Would you fix me? That we got to get honest and real with the God who already knows all about our secrets anyways. So we got to get real with God and get honest. The second thing we got to do is we got to come humbly. We got to become humbly before God. To hear the word of God, we've got to come ready to learn. And that requires humility. See, when I open this book, I don't put it down here and say, I'm going to listen to what you have to say as long as it's good enough. As long as it agrees with my theology, right? As long as what you have to say lines up with my value system and my goals and my career path and my this and my that. No, when I come to God's word, instead, I got to lift it high and say, Lord, I'm going to trust that even where this book and my life contradict, I've got to trust that you kind of know what you're doing. As the sovereign God that created all things, that knew me before creation itself, I got to believe that you kind of know a little bit better about life than I do. So I'm going to submit myself to you. Isaiah 55 and 8 says, God speaking says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. See, to hear from God, just like it is to hear from anyone, means I got to come ready to learn, not come ready to defend myself. Sometimes we come to the Bible, we come to church, we come to hear a word from God, and we got our dukes up. We're looking for a defense. You know, we're just thinking about our defense, right? We're waiting for the cross-examination so we can come before God and say, but God, right? Come on. Come on, we do that. Stephen Covey says it this way. He says, most people don't listen with the intent to understand. They listen with the intent to reply. And I just tell you, man, it don't matter what relationship we're talking about, whether it's a relationship with someone on earth or it's a relationship with God, if we're going to go into that conversation just waiting to build up ammo so we can reply instead of just coming to listen, man, it's going to change our relationships if we'll come to listen. If we'll stop just waiting to reply and just come to listen. And I'm afraid that many of us do that towards God. The third and final thing we've got to do if we really want to take care how we hear is we have to come to God hungry. Say hungry. Hungry. Some of y'all are hungry today, and that's good. Some of y'all are hungry today. And really, what I almost said was we need to come to God with pen in hand. But it doesn't start with an H, so I couldn't use it. No, just kidding. But we got to come to God with pen in hand. And I believe that describes what I'm trying to say. And here, let me tell you why. Some time ago, I learned that something happens to me when I will walk into a meeting, when I will, if I get to go sit under someone else's teaching and hear a teaching, a sermon, when I will walk in with a pen in my hand and paper in my hand, something happens to the way I listen. When I will go into a meeting or a conversation or a sermon or some sort of other teaching at a seminar or a conference, and I come with pen in hand, it changes the way I listen. You know why? Because, man, when that guy or gal starts to talk, I pull it out, and I'm ready. You know what I mean? Yes, you know what I mean. Something happens if I come ready to soak it in. It don't matter if the speaker is my style or not. Whether their words are pithy and tweetable or not, you know what I mean? Whether or not there's some great nugget, I come with pen in hand, and when I do, man, I get something of value out of it when I'm hungry enough to learn. And the same that principle that applies in the natural is doubly true in the spiritual. If we'll come before God hungry and say, God, I want to come pen in hand, ready to hear what you have for me, ready to learn, ready to pull out the treasure in the ground as I walk by it. This funny thing happens if I do it. If I'm looking for what God wants to speak to me, I find it. I find it. I pull out my pen and I come before God, and this is a metaphor, but do it. Bring a journal as you come to your time in the Word. Invite God to speak to you and watch what he does. See, Jesus is calling you. He's calling to each and every one of us. And how you respond to his voice is eternally significant. I believe God wants to speak a word that would change your life forever, but sometimes we come and we're like, God, speak to me, and then we go on about our business. And if we just come honestly, admit our need for God, this transforming work in our lives. If we'd come to him humbly and say, God, I don't have all the answers. I tried it my way and it didn't work. I need you. And if we'd come hungry, saying, God, I want to learn. I don't want to become the teacher. I want to be the student today. Would you speak to me? Would you allow me to hear your voice? I believe that if we'll do those things, God wants to help us to grow. He wants to help us to flourish. But to do that, we've got to say, Lord, I need your help. Can we do that today? Amen. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me as we respond to the Lord this morning? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for speaking to us.